It is my pleasure to introduce this morning Matthew Shepherd. He is the Assistant Director of Church Planting International. We also have Stephen Shepherd as well, who spoke earlier. Church Planting International is one of several ministries that our church has committed to support to over the years. It has a peculiar model of church planting and supporting those churches. It exists to plant churches in especially remote areas. Much of their work is done in the Peruvian Amazon, but elsewhere as well. And where they plant churches and raise up local leaders to local elders to rule in those churches. And that differs from much missionary work in the world in that it empowers the local people to serve in their local place. And even though they provide outside support and encouragement and accountability, they don't preside over those churches. And we think that model is particularly biblical and want to support it. Stephen has been our friend for many years, and he and Greg Weiss, our former pastor, were friends all the way back in college, right? Yeah, all the way back to the 70s. So, and he's been a friend and supporter and a frequent guest in our church for many years. So Matthew has assumed in the last year the role of Assistant Director of Church Planting International. And in a moment, I will welcome him up here. But I wanted to mention that at the end of our service, we'll have a time for a special offering should you like to contribute extra to their mission. So without further ado, we welcome Matthew. Thank you.
Can everyone hear me okay? Great. All right. Well, it's great to be back here at Grace Christian Fellowship. I was here last year for the first time, and we really appreciate the friendships that we have here, all the love and support that you all have shown us throughout the years. We are very grateful for that. This church has really empowered us and equipped us to do the work that we do in Peru and Mexico. We primarily work in Peru and Mexico. We do some work in Uganda as well, and a little bit in Myanmar as well. So there's been three trips since the last time I was here. We've had two trips to Peru and one to Mexico, in which I was actually part of two of those trips. So I'll be speaking on those. But just a little bit about me. As John mentioned, I am the assistant director of CPI. This is a new role for me. I've become a lot more involved in the ministry within the last year or so, which involves me to travel more with my dad, do more teaching. I'm kind of mirroring my dad and the work that he's doing. He's showing me a lot of like home office work and things like that, a lot of ins and outs of the ministry. And it's really been a tremendous blessing to serve along him, work with him, and we'll see what the Lord does. But I love being in this ministry. I really believe in what CPI is doing. I've seen a lot of impact that the Lord has done through people's lives, both spiritually and physically. So it's really great to see that. So before I get into the slideshow, I did prepare a slideshow about those trips. I would like to talk a little bit about our core values as a ministry. We have 12 core values as a ministry. Let's see if this will work here. Okay, it's ready there. Never mind. So, of course, our first one is Christ-centeredness. Everything we do is about Christ. Of course, he is the main reason why we do anything we do. The biblical gospel, compassion, guidance of the Holy Spirit, prayer, church planning, leadership training, working through relationships, indigenous methods, cultural sensitivity, building for the long term, and unreached and receptive peoples. So I'm going to be talking about just two of these core values right now due to time. So what I'll be sharing is about building for the long term, and I'll be also touching on unreached and receptive peoples. All these core values, of course, are very important, but these are the two I'm going to highlight for today. So at Church Planting, our focus is on making a lasting impact, right? So rather than just quick results, we don't want to just do ministry that fades when we leave. We're focused on work that keeps going, and things that can have a lasting impact, such as, you know, gospel-centered churches, strong local leaders, and discipleship movements. So for us, you know, success is not just measured by numbers or by emotional moments, but it's about, you know, what's still standing after we leave. You know, that's really what we care about. After we're gone, what's going to be there in the end? But that's why we really take time to build, you know, real relationships. You know, we train leaders. We help plant churches that are rooted in Scripture, and then they're led by local believers, right? So we're not really in a rush. You know, we want to invest deeply, work wisely, and then we trust God ultimately to bring that lasting change. So we work hard to equip local Christians with solid teaching so they can disciple others and keep the mission going after we're out of the picture. And, you know, and our hope is to see that these churches would be healthy, self-sustaining. They're locally led by the people, and then they multiply as well. We would love to see that, and that people would continue to point to Jesus. A little louder? Okay, sorry. I've been getting over a cold, so I'm sorry if my voice is a little lower. Okay, thank you. But really, this is the kind of fruit that comes with, it has to come with a long-term vision, right? Prayerful planning, and most of all, it's all through the Holy Spirit's work, because he has to change these hearts. Now to touch a little bit on, thank you, unreached and receptive peoples. So we do believe that the gospel is for every tribe, tongue, and nation. And we are committed to going where Christ has not yet been named. Our first priority is to reach unreached peoples, so those who have little to no access to the gospel, and those who live in regions without really any single local church or believers. So it's a region where really there's no viable church, we could say. Those are the places that are often most overlooked. We consider it a matter of urgency and really obedience to go where that, you know, the spiritual need is greatest. And now, in addition to this, we also recognize the importance of prioritizing receptive peoples. So those whom the Holy Spirit has prepared, who are open, they're seeking, they're spiritually hungry for the truth. And Jesus himself spoke of fields of white for the harvest. Or John 4:35, you know, we see that. And we believe that strategic mission work involves identifying where God is clearly at work, and then we join him where he's already working. Now, I do want to say this is, you know, we're not trying to dismiss unreceptive people, right? You know, we believe that they still need to be reached too, but we just believe that this is the most effective stewardship of our time and our resources to invest in receptive peoples. We want to work and respond where the Spirit is already working and already drawing hearts. And we trust, you know, that God will open doors and soften hearts according to his timing. So by holding these two priorities, you know, reaching the completely unreached and responding to the spiritually receptive, we aim to align our mission efforts with the pattern we see in Scripture and the leading of the Spirit. So our hope is to plant churches that will then, you know, take root, multiply, and bring a lasting gospel presence to places that have never known the name of Jesus. So that's really what we're all about regarding those two core values. So with that, I'll just give an update on the trips that we've had, starting with Mexico. See if this works here. Okay, good. Everyone can see all right? So we work in Tepic, Mexico. We flew into Puerto Vallarta, and then we took a bus to Tepic. And then when we first got there, we visited some old friends. My dad has known them for many years, Jose and Olga. Jose is actually still a pastor of a church. He's 82 years old, and that's his wife, Olga. So we just fellowshiped with them for a few days before we traveled to Guadalupe, which is where we did the majority of our ministry. Yes, yeah, we were involved in starting this church here, which was dedicated in 2002, right? Yes. But this is Guadalupe. This is where we traveled 3 hours by car. It used to take 6 hours, but they recently paved the roads. It's a beautiful mountain range. Yeah, really beautiful location. It has about 1,500 people in it. And then there's kind of smaller, what they call ranches, other communities that are close to this area. But Guadalupe is like the biggest city there. And we had workshops. We had two workshops where we would teach and encourage the people. And there's just me teaching there. And then we also had afternoon services. We had five, I guess you could say, services in total. But now these people, there's really only one solid church in the area. Some of you might already know their story, but there's a lot of shamans in the area, and they're facing a lot of persecution. And the shamans have, you know, caused them trouble. They've tried to kick them out, and the government's gotten involved. And so they really need our prayers. So we go there once a year to encourage them to, you know, teach. And we also have a coworker who goes there as well named Lennon, and he goes once a year to help as well. And this is just one of the services that we had. That's their church building there. And this church was dedicated also in 2002 as well. So this church has been without a pastor for 10 years. The previous pastor, his name was Domingo, and he was a good friend of my father. And the big reason why we came to Guadalupe was to install a new pastor named Elian, and you'll see him later. This is just some of the Huichol women. You can see their clothing is very colorful. It's just their... Yeah. Yeah, so they were singing in their native Huichol language. That was that Sunday that we were going to dedicate the new pastor. That's the new pastor right there, Elian. I believe he's about 24 years old, 25, or maybe. He's very young, but he showed a lot of promise. He started teaching the youth. He speaks Huichol in Spanish, which is, you know, really ideal for being a pastor because he can communicate both languages. But he's on fire for the Lord. He's very passionate, and we actually sponsored him to get ministry training. We sent him off. He came back. And everyone in the church really wanted him to be the pastor. They believed in him. And, you know, he's a very humble guy, so he was not so sure about it. But he did agree to it in the end. He realized that it is his calling. And so that's us there just praying for him, laying hands, and making him the pastor there. Now, there are some other people in the community, just some people during our workshops. And this is interesting. We had three individuals that came from another area that's 4 hours away, and they actually walked all those 4 hours just to hear our teachings and to get baptized. So imagine that, walking 4 hours. So we had three baptisms. We were going to baptize them in a river, but didn't work out, so we had to improvise, and we baptized them in this big bucket here. And that woman there, I believe she's in her mid-70s, and she got baptized as well. We got her in. I think she recently passed away, unfortunately, but it was really cool that we could baptize her as well. You know, we sat down with them. We explained to them what baptism is and things like that, so they understood. Oh, and it was cool that Elian baptized them. Again, he wasn't so sure if he should do it, being, you know, a little bit more shy and humble. And we said, no, you can do it. You're the pastor now, you know. So he baptized them, and he did a great job. Yeah, and then there's us praying for them. Now, right here, the people in the back are some of the leadership team in the church. The church is called Ebenezer Church. Now, the woman on the right, and the far right, in the pink, maybe purple, you could say, her name is Azucena. She was the previous pastor's wife, so she's a widow now. But she's very involved in the church. She's actually a Mexican, and so she doesn't speak Huichol. She doesn't speak the language. But she still, you know, she believed in what her husband was doing, and she wanted to continue working with the Huicholes in the area. And then that's Lennon in the yellow, one of our co-workers, who travels to Guadalupe and teaches when we're not there. We've known him for a long time. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Domingo went to be with the Lord in 2015. We tried to find another pastor, and it just never could work out. And God called someone we didn't expect, a very young person. And after Domingo died, the church that was left, and they've held on without a pastor for 10 years, they went and witnessed to, shared the gospel with Elian and his mother. They both came to the Lord. This was like 3 months after Domingo passed away. So he came to the Lord, and he said during the service, "How I wish I could have sat under Pastor Domingo," but he didn't have the opportunity. And so then he felt inadequate and very, very emotional about succeeding him. But God calls people that are unlikely, and he raises them up by his grace.
Amen.
No. It should be like play from play slideshow.
Yeah, I guess I might as well. Yeah. Well, maybe it's back now. Well, now the clicker's not working. You got to have at least a little technical difficulty during your presentation. At least one, right? I don't know. This isn't working though. Let's see. I'll try turning it off and on. That might work.
No, that is working. Give me a second.
Okay, I'll wait. Yeah, so I'll get into this more later, but yeah, I went to Peru a few months ago in June with my father. He went before me. I was there just for about 10 days. And I flew into Lima. I did preaching. My first day, I actually preached at two different churches, two church plants. And then the day after, I flew to Pucallpa, which is a jungle city, and that's where we did more ministry. We always go to Pucallpa, and we held a conference there. And it was unique in the sense that we had 10 different speakers. Wow. Normally, we have like two or three, right? We had 10 different speakers. Oh, okay, okay, here we are. I'll get into that more later. So this trip, I did not go on. My parents did, so I don't know as much about this trip, but I'll do my best to explain what I know. So when they got there, my mom and dad, they did some special training for these individuals. These are, some of them are pastors. They're part of our Word of Grace Bible Institute, and this is kind of special training. It's teacher training is what it is. So they did that, I believe, for 2 days. Yeah, 2 days, give or take. And then they took a boat very similar to this. To a place called Santa Ana, and it was about a four-hour boat trip. They call it Peki Peki, don't they?
No.
Or no?
Peki Peki, the normal passenger boat would take about almost 20 hours.
Oh.
This one takes 4 or 5. It's like a rock. It's a very fast boat. Like running on the water.
Yeah, pretty heavy duty. And then that's them when they first arrived at Santa Ana. They're greeted by the Shipibo. Santa Ana is a Shipibo church plant. They always greet you very warmly when you arrive. And that individual right there, his name is Bobby. He's from my dad's church. He's the missions pastor. And this was his first time going to Peru. Oh, and there's Bobby eating some monkey. I'm not sure if I'd be so bold, but
that's what they served us.
Yeah. To each their own. No, but. So this is the mission team to Santa Ana. The individual in the blue is Leaky. He is a translator. And then the man in the front in the white, his name is Marcial. He's one of our close co-workers and guide. And then his Shipibo. Yes, he's Shipibo. And then his wife, of course, Bobby, and my parents. So this is the team that went to Santa Ana. And then this is the conference that they had. It was a 2-day conference, and all together, actually, Bobby, my mom, and my dad, they spoke 22 times on their trip, collectively. So they did a lot of speaking engagements. And then this is just a group photo of the pastors that were there.
They came from like 7 villages.
Yes, that's right. They came from 7 nearby villages. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they got back to Lima. The building on the right is our base. We call it our base in Lima. The bottom floor is a church called Puente Piedra, which is Stonebridge Church is what it means. And then the other stories, some families that are close to us, they live there. The pastor of that church lives on the second story. And then a widow lives on the third story. Whenever we go to Lima, we stay at that building on the right. Yeah, it's a guest house, yeah. And then on the left is just the area close to the house. And then after Bobby left, my parents did some more ministry. They spoke at some churches. The church on the left is called Via Maria Church, and I spoke at that church when I came in June. And then on the right is Playa Rimac. These are church plants started by Otoniel, who's one of our co-workers. And we've been involved with those churches throughout the years. And then they had a one-day conference at that building I was talking about on the bottom, Puente Piedra. That's just a group of the individuals that went, and then they had their coffee break, intercession. And the man on the left with the flowered shirt, that's Otoniel. He's one of our coworkers. He goes down and teaches with my dad in Pucallpa. He's not necessarily a pastor. He considers himself more as a missionary. Because, you know, he travels and does a lot of teaching. The man in the middle there with the glasses, he's the pastor of Puente Piedra. His name is Winder, and his wife, Fani. And then on the far right is Elizabeth, one of our friends. Okay, now this is the last trip. This is before I came. This is Pucallpa. My father and Antoniel taught at Word of Grace Bible Institute, which is our institute that we kind of founded, I believe, in 2017. And there are some people from the Yorah tribe that came. And this is another picture of the students. So it was a two-week course, and they taught on sanctification. What was the other topic?
Salvation.
Salvation. That's right, salvation. It's another picture of the group. And then that's me when I came to Via Media. And it was special to speak on this occasion because it was their third anniversary as a church. And there's just the pastor greeting me. And I also spoke at another church later on. And they had that, you know, that nice cake there. And definitely got some of that. Yeah, so this is Mission CPI meeting. This is significant because Mission CPI, it's a Peruvian missionary organization that CPI established in 2017. Is really an organization that is dedicated to fulfilling the Great Commission in Peru, preaching the gospel, planting churches in Peru. The Peruvian Mission Board has two Shipibo members, and one of them is actually the president, the young man on the far end in the blue. He's the new president of the organization. So we were electing new members at this meeting here. And then the individual in the far back, too, his name is Casey Kidd. He's one of our missionaries, actually. He lives in Pucallpa. And then we had, after that, we had an annual CPI retreat in Pucallpa. As I mentioned before, we had 10 speakers, which is pretty unique for us. You know, we taught various topics, sanctification, marriage, sovereignty of God, and different types of topics. So there's the 10 speakers. Now that man close to my father, his name is Cesar. He's a close coworker of ours. Unfortunately, he had cancer and he recently passed away. He's with the Lord now. But we've known him for years. He's been a great friend, so you know, keep his family in your prayers. He left behind 3 children and a wife. But there's Antonio and Danny preaching at the retreat. Danny on the left, he's a young pastor of a church in Pucallpa. And then there's my dad and I teaching. Some of the Shipibos there doing a dance for us, doing their traditional dance. Now, the last day that we had, which was Saturday, was pretty interesting. There's a couple there on the left. We actually did a wedding. They came to us kind of spontaneously, and they said, you know, we want to get married, and we weren't sure if, you know, we would be able to do it because it was kind of last minute. But we pulled something off really simple, and, you know, they got married, and, you know, they had been together, they had a kid, they wanted to do the right thing and, you know, honor the Lord and get married. So we did perform a wedding there, and they got married, which was cool. And then on the right, that's just our Lima team. People from Lima came, 9 people from Lima came to the conference. And then we just had a kind of like a free day, and you know, we went by this water. And then my dad and I came back to Lima, and we ministered at Puente de Piedra. We both spoke. And there's a pastor, Tony L. And then that gentleman on top there is a good friend of my father named Angel. So my dad wanted to visit him and got to see him for a little bit. And now my dad's going to speak a little bit on our new property, the base.
Okay. So in 2017, as Matthew said, we actually established Mission CPI as a legal organization registered with the Peruvian government and a Peruvian missionary organization in order to be the owner of this property that we purchased. But now God had bigger plans, and it's emerging and has emerged as a Peruvian missionary organization fulfilling the Great Commission with workers. Now they're going up and down the rivers, preaching the gospel, planting churches, and it's the ones in Lima are being connected to the ones in the jungle, And that was the reason for the retreat, is to build unity and to cast a vision. And so we're all about the local people doing the work, preaching and planting and raising up leaders of their own and planting churches. Well, yeah, so can you go back one? Yeah, I guess I need that clicker. Can I have it? Yeah, please. Yeah. So this property was owned by a Wycliffe missionary, and it was a Wycliffe base. They had a gigantic base that started in the 1940s, and it, they finally closed it because they're mostly finished with their work in the jungles of translating the Bible into tribal languages. They're still working in the mountains. But there's still all this follow-up because they do the linguistic work, give the people scriptures, and then what happens then? And so that's where we've come in kind of to partner with the Wycliffe missionaries in order to train leaders and plant churches where they've translated scriptures. So we were able to buy half of this Wycliffe base, and that used to be the Wycliffe offices, and we converted it into a training center and dorms. And there's two other houses there. So then in 2024 in the fall, let's see here. Okay, there we go. That's the training center there. And then, okay, in 2024 in the fall, I got word that the owner was retiring and he was willing to sell the other half. So this is the other half of the Wycliffe Center, and it's just separated by, let's see, that if to the left of the kind of blue-gray building, there's a gate that goes into the other side of the property. So the Lord put it on our hearts that we should try to purchase this property, and it's worth $350,000. We offered $150,000. They accepted our offer. And yeah, it's got three houses. It's going to double our space, and already one of our missionaries, a new missionary family, is living in one of the houses, even though we have not completed the purchase yet. And so, but the owner is retired, and they agreed to have him live there. And so, this is going to really position CPI into the future for national workers, for this indigenous missionary organization to continue into the future to plant churches and train leaders in the Amazon. In the Amazon region, I might say there's 500 or more tribal groups, of which there are probably 100 uncontacted tribal groups, and there's probably 25, 30,000 villages. My estimates with some of my research, 25, 30,000 villages, extremely remote villages all over the Amazon, which is gigantic. And there are thousands of unreached villages, unchurched villages, where they have no opportunity to hear the gospel at all. And people live their lives in these villages and they die and they don't have the opportunity to hear the gospel. So this is our mission, to take the gospel by float plane, by wheel plane, by boat to these villages and preach the gospel and establish churches. So this is going to help us to be able to house more missionaries, mission teams, students that come for training, and really position CPI to have an effective base into the future. So now, amazingly, I mean, in a way, I didn't want to embark on this project because $150,000. We're small in that, but I felt like it was the Lord's will, and so we started out with nothing. So now, up to this point, this is now since late 2024, we now have all but about $30,000 of it, in mostly in cash, and some still in pledges as well. And so we need to complete this purchase, and it's a vision that we have from the Lord. And so I appreciate your prayers that God would help us with the remaining amount so we can complete the purchase of the other half of the old Wycliffe base to make the double the size of the CPI center in the Peruvian Amazon. Yeah. Oh, I still got, yeah. All right, so those are our new missionaries, just arrived, Thomas and Jamie and Nicholas Harger. There you can see the gate that goes into the existing, yeah, right there, water tower. We have a well. So this is the Amazon. It's one of the Matse's pastors. And you can see that it's so immense. The communities are unbelievably remote, many of them, not just in Peru, but in other countries. We have a vision to reach Amazon tribes, not just in Peru, but in other nations as well. It's just an immense jungle. And you'll see on those rivers, that rivers go everywhere, and they get narrower and narrower, and there's just tiny little huts. There'll be a group of two or three in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And so a lot of these villages, though, are, I think the larger ones are about 800 people, and there's a lot of them that are like 50 people. And so these are villages that we go to preach the gospel and to send laborers to try to raise up churches in these areas. Yeah, and these are the float planes. You can see the boats. Now those are Peki Peki boats. They're Peki Peki is long shafted motor, and they go pretty slow, and they make a really loud sound. They go Peki 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 as they chug along on the river. And they're inexpensive to ride in, and there's a float plane, which is not inexpensive to ride in. And some of the pictures of the jungle villages where we go. And now I don't know if we have time to play this. It's another 2 minutes. These are praise and worship in amongst the different language groups that we work with. We'll end with this.
I'd like to, before we take communion, we'll have a time for our special offering for CPI and the work there. But I want to read this passage from Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." And then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a long, loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." When we partner financially with the work that CPI is doing, we join in the work that the Spirit is doing in every tribe and language and people. So bless you as you open your hearts to give.